Go ahead and be seated and open up in your Bibles to Galatians chapter number 5. And like it was mentioned there by Matt, we do have the church Bibles available again. They're back in the back on the table. You can grab one on the way in each week, and we'll endeavor to put the page number at the top of the handout. And that'll help you to navigate around. We will be turning back to Romans 8 also this morning, but we'll again put the page number on the screen. So it just kind of helps you to navigate. And that's what we want to do, is make it easy and helpful for you. And hey, by the way, I wasn't here last Sunday. Pastor Rob did a fantastic job. We watched online as he preached. He did wonderful. Amen, church. He did a fantastic job preaching. And so for me, it's my first Sunday here in 2021. So Happy New Year. Happy 2021. How many of you are already missing 2020? That's what I thought. All right. With the new year comes one other change, and this is a good one, though. To endeavor to try to even out the services a little more, and in an effort to also prepare ourselves for adding a third service, at least by Easter, if not before, we're going to bump the service times next Sunday. So you're going to go from 10:30 to 11. The 9 is going to go to 9:30, so you may want to switch to the 9:30. We're going to have exact same service, same band, same preaching, same children's ministries, infant, all the way through. So next Sunday, that will take effect. It'll just, each service will bump up 30 minutes. That will allow us to plug in an early service when we do that, all right? So as you know, we had three for a long, long, long time with COVID. Then we had none. Y'all remember when we had none, huh? Remember that? And so then we kind of started adding back, and so now we've got two, but we'll eventually go back to three. So, all right, so we're in Galatians 5, right? Now, by the way, what time do we meet here in this room next Sunday? What time does this service meet? Just testing you, all right. But if you don't want to wait till 11, you can go to what time? Good, all right, you got it, all right. All right, so this is a new year, and the quality of your life and what your life entails boils down to choices. Every day we make choices. This year, 2021, will be a series of choices. For some of you, the most urgent choice and decision that you need to make is to receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Galatians 3:26 says that we're the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful you don't have to have perfect attendance this year in church to go to heaven? Amen? The Bible says that we're saved by faith. We become children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so the moment that you accept Christ and believe that he died for your sins and rose from the dead, at that moment, his Spirit comes to live inside of you. You become a child of God. You become part of God's family. If you've never done that, that's your most urgent decision that you need to make. Now, once that happens and you believe on Christ and his Spirit comes to live inside of you, then as believers, right, now you're a believer. Now you're no longer lost. You're saved. You're no longer an unbeliever. You're a believer. As believers, we have another daily choice that we're faced with. And that daily choice involves this. Will we walk after the flesh, or will we walk after the Spirit of Christ that now lives inside of us? You say, well, I don't understand that. That's kind of foreign talk, and it may be foreign talk to you. You're like, walking after the flesh and after the Spirit, I don't get that. What does all that mean? It's actually very simple, and we're going to define that for you. Then we're going to look at a biblical passage that explains it, and we're going to see that this is so crucial because it's going to determine a lot of things about the year 2020 for you, or 2021 for you personally. So I want you to look at Galatians 5, verse 16, okay? And this is a great introductory verse to this message. He says there, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we're going to define that. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to follow after the flesh? Because what you have here is you have two very diametrically different ways of living life. Two different ways to live life here. Now, one of the things I'm going to do is, as I explain the difference between walking after the flesh and walking after the Spirit, I'm going to use a chart behind me, and you're not going to need your handout for a while, so don't even worry about your handout, okay? Just look up here, and I'm going to have a chart for those of you who are visual learners. Some of you are more visual, so we're going to put it up here, and we're going to explain this about what it means. First of all, what does it mean to walk after the flesh? All right, let me explain. The flesh is that part of us that wants to go our way. We want to go our way. We want to go our way instead of God's way. This goes all the way back to childhood. How many of you, when you were kids, ever wanted your own way? How many of you who are parents find that your kids want their way? They think they know when's the right time to go to bed. They think they know when their room needs cleaning. They think they know what they should eat, not eat, right? And so this is kind of part of this, is that part of our flesh is that we want to go our way instead of God's way. Do you think children grow up to adults who also want their own way? It got a little quieter right there, all right? Now you say you're getting personal now, Pastor Dan. You see, this is part of the flesh. We want our way. We really believe that our way is the best way. And so then the second aspect of this is, because we want our way, then we want sinful pleasures more than we desire Christ. We want what's going to pleasure us, make us feel good. Doesn't matter, if it's self-destructive, doesn't matter if it's immoral, doesn't really matter if it's wrong. We want sinful pleasures more than we desire Christ when we're walking after the flesh. The next part of this is that when you walk after the flesh, it means that you walk in self-reliance, in your own power and in your own strength. It's all about you. It's all about doing what you want to do with little or no thought to what Christ desires in your life. You get up in the morning, you go through an entire day, and maybe never even one time occurs to you, hey, I wonder what Christ would want me to do here. I wonder what Jesus would have me to do. You just kind of do your thing, man. And your main concern is what you want. The fourth aspect of this is, the number four is, what pleases me, right? That's what it's about. What's going to gratify me? What's going to make me feel good? What's going to please me? Now, if you look at this, you know, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to, you know, live for my own pleasures, self-reliance. It's my way. What pleases me? What does that end up resulting in? Well, what ends up happening is that our choices in life tend to be self-centered when we're walking after the flesh. What's going to benefit me? What's going to please me? What's going to make me feel good? What's going to make me look good? And so you see that, and you look at that, and you say, okay, well, what is that going to produce in my life ultimately? Where's that going to lead me? What's going to be the end of that? Well, we're going to look at that in a minute, but before we do that, let's consider the right side here of the chart. And that is, what does it mean to walk after the Spirit of Christ who lives inside of you? You're saved now. His Spirit's inside of you. What does it mean to walk after or to follow after the Spirit of Christ? Well, here's what it means. Number one, it means, you know what? I want to do things Christ's way. Not that I always do, but that's my desire. You know, that's on my radar all the time. It's like it's on my radar. I'm like, I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking, man, you know what? I want to do things your way today, Jesus. I want to do what you would have me to do. And then the second part of that is then, logically, I want to do right. I want to do what God says is right. That would be called righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit is righteousness and peace, Romans 14 says. And so now all of a sudden, I want to do right. Again, not that I always do, but that's my heart, is I want to do the right thing by God, the right thing by others. I just want to do the right thing. And then the third part of that is that I walk with a total reliance upon Jesus Christ. It's not self-reliance, it's Christ-reliance. I realize that I believe what Jesus said. Remember what Jesus said in John 15 to the disciples? He said, without me, you can do nothing. He said, without me, you can do nothing. And I really believe that when I'm walking after the Spirit, that without Jesus, I can accomplish nothing of eternal consequence. Nothing of eternal consequence is going to happen unless I'm walking after Christ, depending on Him, trusting Him. You really believe, when you're walking after the Spirit, you really believe that Christ knows best. Therefore, your only concern is what pleases Christ. That's what's on your radar. What's going to please Christ? Therefore, guess what? Your choices are not self-centered. Your choices are Christ-centered. Instead of it being all about me, now it's all about Christ. It's what's going to please Christ. It's what's going to glorify Christ. It's what's going to make Christ look good. See, now it's all about Him. In your handout, it's okay, you can look at it now, all right. Let me give you, I've just got two statements. Basically, it's just review, all right? We've already covered it, so let's just review. Walking after the flesh simply means that you walk in self-reliance, in your own power and strength, doing what you want to do with little or no thought to what Christ desires in your life. That's walking after the flesh. Walking after the Spirit means that you walk with a total reliance upon Jesus Christ, believing that without Him you can accomplish nothing of eternal consequence. So the bottom line is this. Bottom line, all right. By the way, you're not going to need your handout for a long time again. So look up here. When you walk after the flesh, you live to please yourself. When you walk after the Spirit, you live to please Christ. Not that you won't be pleased when you please Christ. Because we're going to see that when you're living, when you're following after the Spirit of Christ, guess what, man? You get the good stuff. You get true joy, not moments of happiness. You get true joy, a sustained joy internally. You receive contentment. You have an inner peace that anchors your heart on a daily basis. You understand and you're able to truly love. You get fulfillment and purpose in your life. It makes sense. You have goodness. You have patience. All those wonderful things are found in Christ. So it is not I don't want to present the idea that it's this thing of, well, I'm going to please Christ, so I'll just be miserable. No. No, no, no. Listen, Psalm says at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Christ is at the right hand of the Father. That means that in Christ, there are pleasures forevermore. When you're pleasing Christ, oh, you will be pleased. Trust me. Not a temporary pleasure that sin brings. You'll get a true, lasting pleasure when you're walking after the Spirit of Christ. I think one of the greatest passages that explains this conflict between walking after the flesh, doing it my way, versus walking after the Spirit, Christ's way, I think one of the greatest passages is Romans 8. So I want you to turn back three books. Go to the left, three books. It's page 572 if you have a church Bible from out in the lobby there. It's Romans 8. But would you please turn there? Find it on your device. Find it in your Bible. Turn back and keep your bookmarker in Galatians. We're going to go right back there in a minute. So definitely keep Galatians handy. But let's go to Romans 8. Now, what I want to do is I just want to go through this verse by verse. I just want to do some teaching verse by verse. We're going to go through this passage, about 13 verses, and I'm going to read it and then explain it, and I think it's going to be very helpful. It's going to explain this thing of walking after the Spirit versus walking after the flesh. Look at verse number 1, Romans 8, 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. What he just did here in the first two verses, church, he just drew a parallel between walking after the Spirit and life. He says walking after the Spirit brings freedom and life, true freedom and life. Then he draws a parallel between walking after the flesh, and he says that's going to result in death. So he equates the Spirit, walking after the Spirit with life. He equates walking after the flesh with death. Look at verse 3. He says in verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here's what he just said. He says that in our flesh, in our bodies, dwells the law of sin. There is a law of sin that's at work in our flesh, in our bodies. In other words, there's something in us that bends towards sin. There's a part of us that just wants to do wrong. Anybody ever notice that in your kids? Did anybody have to give your kids lying lessons? Here's how you lie, Junior. Let me teach you how to lie, you know, to get out of trouble. Let me teach you how to be selfish with your toys. Let me teach you how to disobey mom and daddy. Let me teach you how to throw a tantrum when you don't get your way. Anybody have to teach your kids that? There's something in us, and we all know this, that is bent towards doing wrong. That's called the law of sin that's at work in us. Christ died to deliver us from that law of sin and death that's in our flesh so that it would no longer rule and reign and control our lives. Look at verse 5. He says in verse 5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." He says, you know what? When you live like there is no Jesus, when you live like you don't really care what Christ thinks, he says, you know what? Those who live that way, they set their mind on those things. They set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's what they're about. He says, look at it. "But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Then he says this, one of my favorite verses. "To be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You know what he just told you? He says, basically, there's two ways to live life. You live according to your flesh, what you want, what makes you feel good in the moment. Or, he says, you live according to the Spirit, what Christ wants. And he says very plainly that one results in death. He says, when you follow after the flesh, death. It's going to kill everything good in your life. Like cancer, it's going to eat away at your soul. And it's going to eat away at you, and it's going to kill everything good in your life when you walk after the flesh. And he says it's going to result, it may be a slow death. You've heard of the expression a slow death. But he says it's death. There's no life that's going to come out of that. There's nothing living, eternal. There's no great living water that's going to flow from that. He says, no, that's death. He says, now walking after the Spirit of Christ, he says, that's life and peace. There's that parallel again that we saw in verses 1 and 2. The Spirit, life, flesh, death. There it is again. Look at verse 7. Let's keep moving our way through. Verse 7, he says, "For the carnal," that is fleshly mind, notice, it's hostile toward God. Why? "For it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." You know what he just said there? He says that when we choose to live our life independently of Christ, we are living after the flesh. He says, you cannot please God. And the reason why is because God resists the proud. Pride is repulsive to God. Pride is what caused Satan to fall. And pride, God resists the proud. He can have nothing to do with the proud because it's repulsive to God. And when we're walking after the flesh, it's pride. It's pride that says, I don't need Jesus Christ. That's pride. I mean, here's a man that lived a sinless, perfect life, caring, loving, giving to people, ultimately giving his life on the cross for humanity. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Here's a guy, he conquered and beat death, he beat sin, he beat the grave, he beat hell and took the keys, he beat Satan, he's the champion, he's the victor, he is the conqueror, the King of Kings, and it's pride that says, I don't need him. I don't need him. I got this. I got this, I'm good. I don't need the Lord. I don't need Jesus. Yeah, I mean, I know he's the only one that ever beat death. Yeah, I know he's the conqueror. I know he's the victor. I don't need him. That's pride. And the Bible says that when we walk after the flesh, we are hostile towards God. And the Bible says we cannot please God. We cannot please God. Verse 9, let's keep moving. He says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. By the way, can I just kind of give a little thing right here? I'm off track a little bit here, but I'm not going to really chase a rabbit. We're just going to look at one for a minute, okay? It's interesting the way he writes that he writes it as if, he's writing to the church, like Crossroads. He's writing to people who say they know Christ. And so he kind of like gives them the benefit of the doubt. He says, you're not in the flesh. That's not your position. You're not godless. He says, you're not in the flesh. He says, but in the Spirit. But then it's like, he kind of like then comes in the back door and he's like, maybe you're not. Because then look, he says, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and the only one that can determine that is you, whether or not you really have the Spirit of God living inside of you. So it's kind of like he gives them the benefit, yeah, I know you're not in the flesh, but you know what? That's if the Holy Spirit's in you. So in other words, he's wanting them to kind of search that out for themselves. All right, that was my rabbit track. All right, let me keep going. He says, now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that lives where? Did you know 4 times in 3 verses he said Christ or his Spirit lives in you if you're saved? Did you know that the distinguishing mark of a believer, the distinguishing mark of a believer, a child of God, is that Christ's Spirit lives and dwells in you? There is something in you now that's different. There's something in you that pulls you to God, that pulls you to Christ, that pulls you to righteousness, that pulls you to trust in God. There's something in you that pulls you to Him. What is that? It's the Spirit of God in you. And that's the distinguishing mark of a believer, of a child of God. Before that, we had no choice but to live after the flesh because our spirit was dead in sins. We didn't have God. Now we have Christ's Spirit in us. And aren't you glad we can do all things through Christ? Amen? Through who strengthens us. Why? Because he lives in me. All right, verse 12. And I'll end with this, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if through the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You know what he says when he says you're not a debtor to the flesh? What he's saying is that it makes no sense for a believer to live after the flesh. It makes no sense for a believer to live this prideful existence of our way, my way, you know, this narcissistic, self-consumed, self-pleasure, what pleases me. He says, that makes no sense. You're not a debtor to the flesh. It's never done anything for you. And so he says, it's nonsensical. It's not consistent. And then if you look back, go ahead and look at your handout now. And you'll notice that leads me to that next phrase in your handout. And that's a common phrase that the world uses. The world borrows phrases from the Bible all the time. I hear it on football games. I hear, wow, that came from the Bible. Wow, he just said that came from the Bible. And this is one of those phrases that the world uses, but it's in the Bible. That's where it's originated. It was in the Bible. And look at the phrase. What is it? You reap what you sow. Did you know that that's in the Bible, Galatians 6:7? We'll bring it up on the screen here. All right, can we bring that up? He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also what? Reap. The law of sowing and reaping is a law of God. That's why he said God's not mocked. You're not going to prove that wrong. If you want to prove that law wrong, I'm going to tell you how you do it. I will believe that you can prove that wrong when you can go out and you can plant orange seeds and get apples. Then I'll believe that you can prove God wrong. But not until. You see, it's a basic principle of life and nature, and it's a wonderful thing that God did. I mean, it's you look at that, it's like, wow, that's pretty amazing. That this morning I was drinking a smoothie that Denise made for me, and she makes one every Sunday morning. I drink a smoothie, it's got yogurt in it, and then she puts fresh fruit or frozen fruit in it. This had some fruit, it had some raspberries in it. How many of you have ever had a raspberry, and you those, if it's in a smoothie, you know you get them hard seeds? And I was, you know, chomping on them hard seeds, trying to get those down. And those seeds, see, those raspberry seeds, isn't it amazing how God made that we're still eating raspberries years and years and years later? Why? Why didn't we run out of raspberries? Because the life's in the seed. You take that seed, you put it in the ground, and what do you get more of? You get more raspberries. Pretty amazing, isn't it? How that works? You don't sow corn seeds and reap potatoes. You don't put broccoli in the ground and get okra. Man, I wish you did. Because I like okra a lot better than broccoli. But it doesn't work that way. Whatever seed you sow, that's what you get back. And the Bible teaches, do you know what the context of that verse is, by the way? The context of that verse, you reap what you sow, that phrase gets thrown around all the time. Let me tell you the biblical context of that verse. It has to do with this thing of walking after the Spirit of Christ versus walking after the flesh, the thing I had on the chart. That's what that verse is about. Because look at the next verse. Go to Galatians 6:8, and if you're back in Galatians, you can look at it in your Bible there. Galatians 6:8. I've also got it on the screen. It says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now look at your handout. Here's the principle, simply put. Sowing to the flesh, that prideful, self-reliant, please yourself attitude, I don't need Christ, it brings the crop of corruption. Sowing to the Spirit, which is all those things we looked at, yields a harvest of life. By the way, doesn't that match what we read in Romans 8:6? For to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See how they match perfectly, Galatians and Romans? In fact, let's bring back up the chart. And if you look up here, there's one thing I left off. Do you know on the left there, walking after the flesh, my way? It's all about, man, what I want, what makes me feel good, self-reliance, what pleases me. My choices tend to be self-centered. What's the result of all that? What kind of fruit do I get from that? What kind of crop am I gonna receive when those are the seeds I plant? Let's go ahead and bring it up. What is it? Death. That's what the Bible says. But when I want to do things Christ's way and rely on Jesus and do the right thing, and my choices are Christ-centered, what kind of fruit am I gonna get? I'm gonna reap the fruit of life. When a believer makes a decision, hey, you know what? That's me over there on the left. That's where I want to live life. That's me. When that's you, and you sow to the flesh, only death, decay, and corruption can result. When you sow to the flesh, those seeds are going to produce fruit. You say, well, not me. God is not mocked. In fact, it's kind of neat, because in Galatians 5, if you're there, I hope you're there, Galatians 5, it's like God gives us a little snapshot of what that stuff on the left produces. This is not an exhaustive list. If God was to list for you all the different ways that your life can go wrong when you do this on the left, you'd have mounds and mounds of books. So God just kind of gives you a little snapshot of what happens when people walk after the flesh. Look at Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5:19. He says, now the works of the flesh are revealed, which are these. This is what you get when you sow to the flesh. Adultery. Marriage vows? What? Huh? What's that about? I mean, yeah, I know I'm married, but. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Lewdness. Idolatry. Sorcery. That's witchcraft. Immorality. Hatred. Strife. Jealousy. Rage. Selfishness. Dissensions. Heresies. Envy. Murders. Drunkenness. Carousing. And again, this isn't an exhaustive list. He's just giving you a little snapshot of what the fruit that's going to come when we live and walk after the flesh. It's a simple law of sowing and reaping. You can only harvest what you plant. The Bible says that in our flesh dwells no good thing. That part of us that wants to resist Christ, do it our way, you know, live for ourselves. He says, in our flesh dwells no good thing. So when I sow to the flesh, what's the only possible harvest? No good thing, right? If there's no good thing in the flesh and I sow to the flesh, the only possible harvest is no good thing. Just like you cannot plant apple seeds and expect to get oranges, you can't sow to your flesh and then expect to get all the marvelous fruit that the Holy Spirit brings in your life. But on the other hand, when you choose to sow to the Spirit and all these things, over here on the right, when you choose that I'm going to walk after the Spirit, then you can expect a living, eternal crop. And that's what Galatians 5, 22 and 23 are all about. Because look at the contrast. You saw what the flesh produces: adultery, sexual immorality, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, you know, selfishness, all these things, drunkenness. But then look at verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So when I sow to the Spirit, this is what I get. Love. I really understand what it means to truly love. Because there's a lot of warped ideas of what love is. But I understand true love. Notice, when I sow to the Spirit, I get joy. Now look, joy is different than having moments of happiness. Joy is something that you can have even in tragedy. Joy is something you have even when someone's aggravating you. Joy is something that you... Listen, happiness is like, oh, I'm so happy. Why? There's six games on the NFL this weekend. I'm so happy. We got six games. But joy is something real and sustained, lasting. Look at the next one, peace. So you're not ill at ease. You're not in turmoil. You're not always like ready to just, you know, jump. You got internal peace. Notice it says there, the next one, patience. How many of us could all use a little more patience, huh? Gentleness. You're gentle. You're good with people. Faith. Do you know every day, everyone, every single human being exercises faith in something every day? But he says, we have true faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He says, meekness and self-control. That's what you get when you sow to the Spirit. This is God's desire for you. This is what God's up to in 2021 in your life. And we're going to talk more about this fruit in the coming weeks. It's going to be some good stuff. And I really hope that you will pray and ask God that that's the crop I want, God. That's what I want. So God, in the coming weeks, God, speak to my heart, because that's the fruit I want to see. You know what that is? That is a description of Jesus Christ. That's what that is. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. That's Jesus. And so as you trust Christ and you grow in your relationship with him, his Spirit inside of you changes you and bears some incredibly sweet fruit in your life. Those verses are a beautiful description of Jesus Christ. That's Jesus. And he lives in you. Are you still in a fleshly body that's capable of sinning? Absolutely. But when we choose to walk in the Spirit and depend on Christ and follow Christ, we're marvelously changed, and the life of Christ is displayed through these earthly bodies. You know, Paul led these people to Christ here in Galatia. And you know what he told them? He said, I'm laboring over you. He said, because I want Christ to be formed in you. Paul was like, he said, man, I long for you to be so filled with God's Spirit that Christ himself is actually shaping your entire life from the inside out. And when that happens, this is the fruit you get. Imagine what that would do for key relationships in your life. Can you imagine if you were imagine that you're here and you grew in your ability to love properly here. Imagine if your joy level's here and your joy level goes to here. Imagine if your patience goes from here to here. Imagine if your gentleness and your goodness goes from here to here. Imagine if your faith just increases and grows in God and in who he is and what he said. Imagine if your self-control went from here to here. Imagine what that would do for your relationships, your marriage, your child, your parenting. Imagine what that would do for your testimony at work. Imagine what that would do, for your relationships in church and at work and in your neighborhood. Imagine what it would mean for you on a daily basis if that fruit was just flowing over in your life. In your handout there, the last statement says that the works of the flesh create bondage in our lives. And I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you right now, to use this analogy, if this path right here is the flesh, which is basically self-dependence and independence away from Christ and just doing it your way, I think I know best, and I know what's best for my... And you're walking the way of the flesh, and it's leading you down a path, and it is not going to be a good ending. It's not going to be a happy ending. It's going to produce exactly what God said it produces. And you need to get off that path, because that's going to create bondage in your life. The path of Christ, to walk after the Spirit of Christ, in your handout, look at that. It says, when you walk after the Spirit of Christ, that allows us to walk in freedom. And if you look at the verse up here on the screen, I love this verse, Galatians 5:1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, look at this, wherewith Christ has made us what? Free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to the flesh, he says. How many of you believe 2021 can be our greatest year of spiritual growth? You know what I just said, right? It has nothing to do with church attendance. That has nothing whatsoever to do with the church as a body. What I just said has to do with one person, you. When I said, can this be our year of greatest spiritual growth, that's up to you. Because it's what I said at the beginning of the message, 2021 will by and large be determined by our choices. The choices that we make on a daily basis. Will we walk after the flesh? Or will we walk after the Spirit of Christ? Let's pray right now.